bulletins. The big announcement is we got one more Sunday in this month that we're going to be a normal Sunday. And that's next Sunday. The Sunday after that, Christmas Day, we have one service and one service only. And that will be the 11 o'clock hour. There will be no buses running. There will be no Sunday school, no anything other than in here. So if you know people that's got kids and everything else, they just need to bring them in here, okay? And then New Year's, there will be no buses running. But we will have Sunday school because they're going to have everything combined. And then there will be a children's church for the grades 1 through 5, okay? And then for the younger ones. So the big deal is the 25th, Christmas Sunday, that is the Sunday that there's one service, and then that's it, okay? Because it'll be in Christmas Day. And if you can make it to the Christmas Eve candlelight service, that will be at 4:30 here at the church. Keep that in mind. And then also, and I believe that's tonight, let me see here. We've got a candlelight. Let's see. I can't remember if that's tonight or the 18th. I'll find it. Christmas of the Pavilion. That's the 18th. That's next Sunday. Okay? I was getting my dates mixed up. But the 18th, next Sunday, after church, in the evening after the evening service, everybody's meeting out of the pavilion, weather permitting, and there's supposed to be some good stuff going on over there. Okay? So kind of keep that in mind. So, and then remember the birthday offering for Jesus. It was all going to the L family and the loss of Stephen. So keep that in mind if you would. All right? And I know a lot of people are hurting. We've got a lot of people that are sick right now. So be aware of that. And then if you have any special prayer requests that needs to, on the prayer list, my number's there, my email's there. Just let me know. Okay? So, but do we have any prayer requests on my left over here? Anybody at all? Okay? Yes. Okay. How about here in the middle? Harold? Okay. Okay. Never need to remember that family in prayer at the loss of this loved one. Okay. Yes. Nancy? Okay. Need to remember these. Anybody else here in the middle section? Okay. How about over here on my right? Yes. Okay. Need to remember these prayers. Yes. Okay. Okay. We need to remember all of those. Okay. Be praying for us up in the children's church, primary church, and junior church. Today is one of those days because of Gift Sunday. You know, we plan for a lot of visitors, but we also plan that a lot of boys and girls that have never heard. We plan for maybe a boy or girl that has never heard the story about Christmas and what it's all about. So be praying for us up there. Be praying that the Lord will touch the hearts of those boys and girls. Yes, Harold? Okay, remember that too as well. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Remember all these. Be praying for Brother Steve as he brings the lesson and everything. And then for our pastor as he brings the message there at 11 o'clock. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning so unworthy.
Amen. Praise the Lord, Don. Amen, Bob.
But thanks be to you and your blessed Son. Because of his shed blood, we have access to the throne.
Yes. Amen.
Thank you. There's so many needs here this morning. I pray that you meet those needs this morning. And I thank you for the fact that you're a prayer answering God. Heavenly Father, just be with Brother Steve as he teaches. Give us what we need. Be with every heart. Even the 11 o'clock hour, doesn't matter if it's a child or adult, if there's somebody lost, speak to their heart. Help them to see that they need to get saved, for it's eternally too late. We just ask now that you'd have your will in everything that's done, for I ask all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bob. Well, good morning and Merry Christmas coming up. We're all going to have a good Christmas this year. Debbie's going to be missed, but we all know where she's at right now. She wouldn't even want to think about coming back. The Christmas she's actually seeing the reason for the season. You've seen those little tags. But praise the Lord for who he is and what he's done. I want to thank Miss Vickers. She put all those gift bags together and got the gift cards and did a great job. Those ladies in the back do a good job keeping class things organized. And I'd just like to recognize Miss Vickers for doing that. And Brother Harry, he just goes along for the ride. But anyway, Preacher Lasley's back with us today after having a dizzy spell. Praise the Lord. So I have to say again, God's good all the time. People ask me how I'm doing, and even my children, and I'm doing amazingly well. It's answered prayer. Y'all have been praying. I know you have. But faith, the truth, the knowledge of God has made this transition in my life so easy. Folks, it's everything that God says in his word is so true. Until you experience certain things in your life, what he says he'll do based on our hearts and minds and the presence of the Holy Spirit that lives and dwells within us. If we have that all blocked and squelching the power of God, we can't get his blessings. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today in this church that we have. We've been talking about our New Testament church and what we can do. Well, how do we do it? How do we do it? The power of the New Testament church is not anything that we can do without the power of God. Many, many years this church has went forward because of the Holy Spirit dwelling richly on the men that guided this church. And we all, in everything, in every endeavor spiritually, church business, we have to, life business, not just in this church, but outside of this church, we have to live in the presence of the Holy Spirit and ask daily for his help on our lives and how we live and how we treat others and what we say and how we say it. And as we look into this lesson, we can start here with a verse in Acts 4:33, and it says, "With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was up on them all. I have to say, because of the power of Christ, because of the Holy Spirit dwelling richly in me, and this is my testimony, that great grace has been bestowed on myself and my family in the recent months. And here we are at Christmas time. Hearts are soft. People, visitors coming. I just stepped out. There was people coming in. They didn't know where to go. I didn't need to be aware of that today. Just kind of keep our eyes out for folks looking for a seat or looking for a class or looking to take their child somewhere. Got lots of folks coming in today. Levi's on the ground in Botswana today, preaching there on the Serengeti Plains. He's having a great trip, him and about six, eight other men on a survey trip there. But praise the Lord. I mean, with the Holy Spirit, we can do all things for Christ without fear, with boldness, with power that he gives us through the Holy Spirit. The disciples didn't have all that figured out when he was hung on the cross. But some days later after the resurrection and they met with God and Christ and he started explaining the Comforter that was coming. And now in the New Testament church time, when we get saved, we get so much more than just, yes, we have a doorway open to heaven for us because of Christ. But also he gives us the Comforter, giving us the ability to live on this earth and point people toward Christ and live a righteous life. What the world needs today is so bad. I mean, our world is just spinning craziness. And people do not have the Holy Spirit dwelling richly in their lives. They need saved. We could go on and preach the gospel. But we can't make anybody get saved. Oh yeah, we can spread the word, do our part, and have boldness because of the Holy Spirit. But God does the saving. The Holy Spirit does the work. Even just giving out a tract, even just witnessing to somebody, even just saying a little something about church. God can take and do miracles with those things. So let's pray and we'll have a word and we'll get started in the rest of this lesson. Lord, we thank you for your love and grace. And Lord, I thank you for the Holy Spirit that you gave us. You gave the New Testament church a gift. It's a gift. Just like salvation is a gift. We've done nothing to get it or keep it. The Holy Spirit was a gift. Nothing to get it or nothing to keep it. We have it. And God, we thank you for that. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the Christmas season that we can look and celebrate and think about as we see those beautiful stars on the tree. That starry night that you were born in a manger. What a wonderful story it is for our children and our loved ones to gather together and celebrate the birthday of Christ. Lord, give us a good day. Touch our preacher, give him the words to say. And Lord, if there's someone here today that needs to be saved, Lord, I pray that you impress on their hearts and mine to come and talk to somebody about the salvation that God so freely gives us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, let's look at the church we read about in the New Testament. They were an example of great power. It was fresh. The power was fresh then on the disciples at that time. They knew not about it until a couple of weeks later when Christ came back and met them in the upper room. But sadly to say today, most churches today know very little about that kind of power. Churches today think they have to entertain or have to have activities or all the stuff that we can do socially. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to dwell richly among us. A church, it gives us knowledge, and we'll see that in a little bit too. We need God's knowledge. We need the understanding of God's word. In Acts 1:8, it says, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Levi's out there at the uttermost parts of the earth. I've got some wonderful pictures. It makes me remember the days I was there in the mid-80s. And we got some girls that are wanting to go there. What a need. These people want to be saved. They want a Bible. They want somebody to have church. I mean, is the day coming that Levi's church that they've established there in England and the 10 churches that are there with the other guys are going to be sending missionaries back to this country? If it keeps going the way it is, the Holy Spirit's being forgotten about in our churches today. Folks, the Holy Spirit indwells in every believer at the moment of salvation. You got it when you got saved. I got it at the age of 13. Pastor was 13 when he was saved. Pastor Lashley. We got it that day. We have this same sure power that these disciples had. Nothing's changed. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is immutable. He cannot change. He will not change. That same power that these men had that enabled them to step out in that community at that time when it happened, and all these people from all parts of the world were coming through there in trading and commercial and working and traveling. It was a land bridge between Africa and Asia. They were all there. Many, many languages, many, many language groups. You know, Dr. Cherian there in Kumatori, there's 16 language groups that his people reach out to. I can't imagine. I think he speaks 4 or 5 of them himself. But we don't even have that problem in this country. Now, I'm from southern West Virginia. My language is a little bit different sometimes. I don't know. We were somewhere, maybe with Preacher Lashley, or I don't know. I don't even remember where. I think it was in Thailand. I was doing a message, and somewhere I said, "Well, they're going up the creek," and the interpreter stopped, and he just looked like, "What did you say?" I said, "Creek." "We don't know what a creek is. What is that?" And I said, "What's a little stream, a little bitty stream with flowing?" "Oh," he said, "a brook. That's a brook." So isn't language fun? I mean, it's, and they understood then. Then I went back and said what I was saying and put brook in it. And that's the language. But, you know, when these guys got empowered to speak in these languages or speak in tongues, they was able to say brook, and they didn't even know what they were saying. The Holy Spirit gave them unction. They were there, in their mind they were speaking, but in all the ears that were listening was hearing it in their own language. What a miracle that was that day. The starting of the New Testament church. 3,000 people saved, and they were going to scatter to all parts of the known world at that time. God knew exactly what he was doing when Christ told the disciples, said, "You go back to Jerusalem and wait on me and don't do nothing until I get there." Things just don't happen in God's purview. It just don't happen. It's not happening for Levi today in Botswana. It's not happening for my son teaching class in Knoxville or Shannon's class or wherever my family may be. There's someone come in that door, and the Holy Spirit Somebody invited them, and the Holy Spirit pushed them just a little bit. Yeah, you need to go. They may hear something today that'll change their life. Change who they are and how they live. The Holy Spirit is a powerful, powerful thing. Just as it was power that day, we have that same power. God's power is required in order to do God's work. Now, when we start talking about, I can remember Preacher Lastly preaching and talking about everybody's got to get busy and do this, but nobody likes that little four-letter word, W-O-R-K. We got to work. And with the power of the Holy Spirit, He'll guide us in the right direction. Do I need to witness that person over there? The other day I was out in the middle of a wood pile. I don't know if I told you that. Over at one of the sawmills, getting wood, and an 18-wheeler pulls in, and a young man gets off of the 18-wheeler, and he's unstrapping his load. And I was loading wood, and the Holy Spirit poked me and said, "You need to talk to that young man." So I climbed out of that wood pile and walked over to this young man and witnessed to him. Of course, he was a young black man, come walking up to him. He didn't know what to expect. He had a little frown on his face. I said, "How you doing?" I said, "Okay." I said, "Where are you from?" He told me. I said, "Do you go to church?" And the whole conversation changed. He started smiling. He said, "Yeah, I do." I said, "Are you saved?" He said, "Glory, yes. I've trusted Christ as my Savior." Well, we had a little revival right there in a wood pile. So it can happen anywhere. You've just got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's guiding. Because you have that power that these disciples had that day. And enabled them to be able to speak. And all these people to understand. God's power is needed every day in our lives. Not just in the church meetings. I mean, I like to feel the Spirit. I like to feel the presence of it. I like to be able to sit back here and say amen. And raise my hand. And the right music. And when the pastor says the right things. I can't hardly sit still sometimes. I want to jump up and run up and down the aisle sometimes, but somebody may be offended by that. I don't know. You know, the Holy Spirit gives us unction about offending people too, and how we talk to people. We got to listen to the Holy Spirit in every asset. In the New Testament, we find that this power of God was demonstrated not just in the church assembly together, but every day in them believers' lives as they witnessed, as they got thrown in jail and talked to jailers and talked to Roman soldiers. You know, they'd be going down the road and God told them, "You need to go another mile." A lot of people don't even know what that means, go the next mile. In those days, these Roman soldiers was out on a Roman road that their government built, moving material and moving men. And they had the right, if you was on the road, they'd stop and say, "Can you carry my stuff? You need to carry it for a mile." That was the law. So you had to pick their stuff up and carry it. God said to go the next mile. What a witness that would be to them soldiers to just have a good conversation and carry their material for 2 miles, an extra mile. You see how that would speak to that man? He'd get to the point after the first mile, he'd say, "Who are you? What are you?" And with boldness and not being afraid, he'd say, "I'm a Christian." And God tells us to go the extra mile. You see, the little thing. Have you ever went the extra mile for somebody? Have you ever borrowed a tool off of somebody and when you're done with it, clean it up and polish it and make sure it's in perfect working order before you take it back? Just little things. It speaks volumes, folks, to folks that are not saved. The Holy Spirit is needed in His church, but it's also needed in our lives every day. Every day it's needed for a witness outside on the street. And that's, you know, that's what that verse 18 says there. Why we're going everywhere. We're going here and we're going local and we're going to the next step and the uttermost parts of the world. Then there's no substitute for God's power. We can think, well, we've got it in myself. We've got physical power. Some of us may have physical power. Some people think because they have physical abilities that they can go and do anything. I'm in good shape. I can go to the mission field and I can do this and do that. If they leave out the Holy Spirit, that physical power, it just ain't worth a cracker, as Grandma used to say. We need the Holy Spirit. Physical power without the Holy Spirit, it's just God's give you a good physical condition. Physical power will not substitute the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't outdo God's power. Financial power. Some people think that, oh, I've got all kinds of money and I can do things. I can give money and get showy about it. And we know God gave us an example about that. And the Pharisees and that one lady that gave one penny and that was all she had to give. And on and on and on. We've heard all those stories. Some people think in some of the churches today that are wealthy and they can do anything they want to do. Then people live in another world, some of them do. Pastor talks about a guy that won a big lottery ticket up in West Virginia and it ruined his life. I know in my career, probably three or four men that lived in a trailer on the side of a hill in southern West Virginia. And they became rich because they started a coal mine. And I was involved in a lot of that because I did all their engineering, got them into going. And they got multi-way. The next thing you know, this one guy bought a NASCAR car, built a NASCAR garage, had a helicopter, had all kinds of cars of any brand that you could think about, and on and on. And they were dangerous to hang around. They'd always call, you need to come up here. We're going somewhere. I said, I can't, I'm working. No, you need to come on now. So you go up there. If you got in a helicopter, you didn't know where you were going to end up that night. Or even if you got in the car with them, you don't know where you was going to end up. They were dangerous. And they were into garbage. That's what money done to them. Later on, one of the men passed away within a few years. The other man ended up in jail in a few years. And on it goes. Money corrupts, folks. But can we use it for God's glory? Absolutely. But how do we use it? If God gives you an unction to give a $20 bill or a $100 bill or whatever kind of bill to somebody, you need to follow up. Don't walk away from that unction. Because humanly speaking, I don't want to reach back here and get this out. You get in this right here and people, buddy, they can get upset. If you try to take that or try to use it without the Holy Spirit's power on it, you're going to get in trouble. Buying things, doing things. I'm telling you, with the personal knowledge, wealth is dangerous without God. It's dangerous. Now, but what's fun about it to me is there some missionary needs $1,000? Is there some one of these little girls in here needs $500 that's getting ready to hit the field? If the Holy Spirit speaks to you, don't do it just to be showy. Don't let anybody know. You go back there and wad that bill up and fold it up into a little old nothing put it in her hand and walk away. Let the Holy Spirit bless that. You know, there's just ways to do things. But does the flesh want to be proud? Well, of course it does. That's just the flesh. That's who we are. I'm proud. I mean, a lot of old guys used to want... I knew Mr. Martin that owns all that property down the way out, that used to own it. He passed away 2 or 3 years ago. And now it's all been auctioned off, most of it anyway. And he was an old kind of guy, and he wore coveralls all the time. And he had his checkbook and his money right there in that coveralls. I mean, that was like a roll of money. I mean, these old guys just carried money around. That's just the way it was back in the days. And some of the old timers, there's stories about them. Some of the old timers that were coal barons, they would carry money around. There was one old man that went downtown Logan. He had so much money on payday that they said it would fall out of his pockets and there'd be a large crowd of people following him to pick the money up. Whether he did it on purpose or not, we don't know, but that's the story. I mean, it's dangerous. Financial stuff's dangerous. You've got to bathe it with the Holy Spirit. And this church don't have a problem. I'm telling you, praise the Lord for our mission program. Praise the Lord for the giving. Praise the Lord that we can pay our pastor well and our staff. And I mean, praise the Lord where we're at today in this church, folks. Don't take it for granted. What we've got here is so special. It's got God's power on it. Praise the Lord. He's good to us, folks. And you need to thank the Lord for this church every day. Every day. Mental power. Have the abilities. Intelligence. The ability to communicate. I think I got a little bit of that. I'm just mostly just an old creek boy raised up on Coal River. Run up and down the creek fishing. Chasing smallmouth bass and largemouth. But somehow I ended up with the gift of gab. Can talk to anybody and not afraid to talk to anybody. Not afraid to stand up in front and talk. I just look at that as a gift. I don't know a whole lot. But through the Holy Spirit, He gives me power. I pray and ask God to give me the right lesson, to show me what's in that lesson, to be able to tell you all. That's all empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's not me standing up here. I'm up here, but He's using my lips. I ask Him every Sunday, say, God, use me. Let me say something that somebody needs to hear. And you may sit there and say, well, I knew that. Well, did everybody know that? Things are being said here that somebody may need to be hearing. Folks, we can't do on our own. We can't substitute for the power of the Holy Spirit with physical, financial, and mental power. We have we may be gifted in those areas, but to use it without the direction of the Holy Spirit is a dangerous thing. It really is, because the world and the flesh will grab a hold of you. And pride, and it will ruin your testimony. We need to guard our testimony. Now, all of us in here have a wonderful testimony. Teachers and Sunday school teachers and bus workers and missionaries and deacons and on and on and on. We've all, most of us in here, have all served and are serving. And do we have to have physical powers to serve? No. Just go down to the mental part of it. I can sit on this pew and just use my brain to pray. I can sit at home. I don't have to have physical powers to be able to sit there in my chair, pull out the prayer list, and pray for people. And bathed in the Holy Spirit, God will hear those in the right way. You know, my children lost a cat. Simple stuff. My grandchildren in Knoxville lost their cat a month or so ago. A beautiful white, blue-eyed, one of them pretty cats about that big, it just disappeared. Well, we all prayed and they all cried and we were praying, please let the cat come back. They thought some critter had got it. Well, this week, a vet called and said, I've got your cat. Somebody brought it in, they scanned the thing in it. Well, what a blessing to my children. My two grand girls, they didn't even call them and tell them they were all at school. They just brought the cat home, put it in the house. You know, it'd been wandering, it lost weight and all that kind of thing. And the girls walked in and that cat was there. Now, can you imagine? She videoed it. I haven't seen it yet, but just a simple little answer prayer. God heard a prayer, bathed in the Holy Spirit. Lord, help my grandchildren's hearts to heal over losing their kitty cat. I mean, God's interested in the little bitty things as much as he's interested in the big things. You know, we can pray for Levi there in Botswana, but we can pray for little kitty cats too to come home to my grandchildren. Isn't God good? You can't outdo him. You can't outdo him. So we know that the power, as we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we need to be filled and comforted. You know, the Holy Spirit comforts us and teaches us, as it talks about that. I'm going to have to quit reading some verses here and move along because I've got another page of verses, two pages. I may hit one or two here. John 14:16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. The comforter is going to abide with us forever. The Holy Spirit is going to we're going to get filled with the Holy Spirit. Once we get filled with the Holy Spirit, then we can do what God wants us to do, not what the flesh would tell us to do. It's a hard thing. It's not easy. It's not easy. John 16 talks about he guides us in the truth. You know, our preachers preached about the truth here in the last few months. What is the truth? He guides us in that. I know that this is the truth. That every word in here is the truth. Now, I'm sure some people will say, well, this version, that version, this. We use the King James, and I do too. And I use study guides and other versions I study with. Yes. But I don't read it every day. I read this every day. And I use all kinds of study guides. I've got books and shelves full and the computer full. I'm searching, though, through the words to find out and seek the truth of the matter. I want the truth of the matter. I can't use some worldly book. I can't use some YouTube channel. I got to get in the book, and the Holy Spirit's got to open my knowledge and understanding of what that verse is saying. And I'm dumb. I mean, I have to alliterate the thing and look at every word and compare it with Hebrew and Greek and all the other languages and get the actual what it means. Miss Lassley's good at that. She used to prepare Sunday school lessons. I think she still fills with them. I used to use her lessons all the time, and I still got some. We may do some in here. Man, she had to study hard to get that. She didn't get that on her own. The Holy Spirit gave her unction and understanding how to put that thing together. So, you know, the Holy Spirit is a powerful, powerful thing. He changes our speech. We go from, isn't people aggravating? People just are ugly. They're sharp and they're bitter. They ride a chip on their shoulder. If you make one mistake driving, they're blowing their horns or shaking their fist at you. I'm sorry, I'm starting to make mistakes. But that's part of it. The world is ugly. But, you know, we let the Holy Spirit change the words. Change our words, but not only our words, there's a tone in our words. Folks, we need to be kind. Let the Holy Spirit change those words. Yeah, we may need to say them, but say them in a way that's kind. Let the Holy Spirit change the tone of our life and our conversation. And he gives people the courage. He gives us the courage. Gives me the courage to stand up here and let God use my lips. Give us the courage to witness. Give us the courage to hand a tract to somebody standing at the gas pump beside of you, or a checkout lady, or with a tip, and on and on and on and on. We got to have courage in this world. And the devil don't want us to do that. Oh, he'll come. Oh, don't do that. I'll probably throw it in the floor or something. Well, that's on them. I've done my part when I have that track and hand it or give a witness. If I don't have one, I give them a personal track by just talking to them. I'm telling you, the devil don't like any of this. And the bottom line for us and this church, in Matthew 28 talks about it, a vision. God gave them a vision for lost souls. I believe this church has a vision for lost souls. We have missionaries that the sun never goes down on. We've got a vision for lost souls. Everything that goes on here points people to Christ and lost souls. I'm going to have to quit. The clock's telling me to stop. Thank you all for listening. Merry Christmas. Glad you came today. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that helps us and dwells with us and comforts us and gives us strength and gives us power, gives us knowledge. Lord, it gives us so much. Lord, we thank you so for that. Bless our church today. Bless all the visitors. Help folks to find seats. Help us to be kind and say a good word to everybody. Lord, in Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Thank you, guys.